But if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, I want you to open them with me to Ephesians. We're still in Paul's letter. We have 2 weeks left in that. We're in Ephesians. We're looking at chapter 6 today, which can be found on page 1823 of your pew Bibles. But we're looking at chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good deeds he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. This is the word of the Lord. As we prepare to dive into the Word of God today, let's first seek Him in prayer. Lord, we come to You today, seeking Your wisdom, seeking Your knowledge, seeking how we are supposed to act here on earth as Your children. Guide us through Your Word. Draw us closer to You. Open our eyes to Your ways so that we can be Your faithful servants here. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. You know, when I first started this series back at the beginning of summer, I wanted to go all the way through, and I thought, well, I divided it up in easy chunks, for lack of a better word, so that each week we could go through, but we have to remember everything God has done from the beginning. The problem with this week that I noticed was I front-loaded myself. I'm really going to focus on the first 4 verses of this chapter because I think we have a wrong understanding of what it looks like to be the body of Christ, but we also have a wrong understanding of what it looks like to be parents and children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. You know, many of us, if we're really honest with ourselves, many of us have heard and we understand that the stat about teens leaving the church is ridiculous. 80% of teens leave the church upon graduating high school. Those numbers should cause us to have fear for our kids. Those numbers should cause us to worry about our kids. But those numbers should also cause us to sit back and ask some questions. Why is this happening? What have we, the body of Christ, those who call ourselves disciples, what have we done wrong? There have been several studies throughout the years that have tried to explain why teens are leaving the church as soon as they go to college. And one study that has been backed up over the last 12 years states that, well, it came to the conclusion that a majority of teenagers are incredibly inarticulate about their faith, their religious beliefs and practices, and their faith's place in their lives. Kids are not able to describe what their faith is and what it means in their lives. You know, it's no secret that I was a youth pastor for 17 years and that I have a heart for youth ministry. When I first started, I was working with Youth for Christ, and I love working with teens, but I saw a major problem while doing this. Youth group, faith, church. These three things were not priorities for parents, even parents who said they were Christian. Which is why when I started working at Park Street Church and the pastor I worked under, he came up to me and he told me he wanted me to find a way to get parents involved in youth ministry. My response to him instantly, and I regret saying it, but it's what I thought, but my response was, parents are the problem. Parents don't care about faith. Yes, superficially they do, but in reality they don't. they don't think it's important in their kids' daily lives. I remember this one kid. His parents had been members of this congregational church for years in Swampscott. This family had money. They had a really nice house right next to the ocean. And this kid would come up to me regularly saying, "Will, my parents, I need you to talk to my parents. They won't let me come to youth group. They won't let me go on missions trips. They won't let me even go to the Christian concerts in the area." I know this kid. This kid had great grades. This kid was an athlete. This kid followed every rule. But the parents were so into appearance. The parents cared more about work and school and athletics than they did about the Lord. They were raising their kid up to think that work and sports are more important, and those are the two things that we need to seek after. They were raising this boy up to go to Harvard and become a big-time business person. And what's worse is they were raising their daughter up to be a nice, quiet, pretty wife. This kid would come and tell me that his parents were so fixated on him getting into college that all he was allowed to do was play sports and go to school. His normal day consisted of waking up at 5:30 in the morning, and from 7 to 9:30 he was either in school playing sports or studying. There was no room in this kid's life for God, even though this family faithfully went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. Notice I said this family faithfully went to church. Faithfully going to church is very different than having faith. How about this extremely liberal family at that church that I worked at? This was a UCC church that God had called me to because they had an extremely conservative pastor. But this liberal family, it was time for their daughter to go through confirmation. She had just turned 16, and she was getting ready to get up in front of the church. And I had talked with these kids for months about stating what they truly believed. Talked to them about stating whether they believed that Jesus was their Lord and Savior or whether they didn't know what to believe about God. You see, I love confirmation, but there's something about it I hate. Many parents want their kids to say the quote-unquote right answer. They want to get their kids up in front of the church and have their kids say, "I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior," because they think that by stating that, their kid is saved. And this girl, she got up there and said, "I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior," which made her parents, aunts and uncles, and grandparents smile. You see, this family had been in the church for over 100 years, and there were multiple generations in there. They felt they owned this church. But then this girl did something that broke their smile and made me smile. Because after she said, "I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior," she said, "We don't talk about God in our house. We're not allowed to, because fights will start at the dinner table over this. All we talk about are politics and school." This girl came to faith, and then she realized the hypocrisy of her parents. I loved her answer. She was as honest can be. And while she struggled with a lot of the stuff in Scripture, she allowed herself to struggle with it and question and seek God for answers. She didn't allow herself to assume that a shallow answer would be enough. Because faith is more than stating that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Faith is living it out on a daily basis, wrestling with the easy stuff as well as wrestling with the hard stuff. I think about that family, though, and the fact that they never talked about faith in home, at the home. Yes, they were an extremely liberal family. But aside from political views, are they any different than most families? Even most families here right now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. How can a child obey their parents in the Lord or even honor their mother and father if parents aren't teaching their children about the Lord, about the love of God, about the teachings of the Lord, and more important than the teachings, if parents aren't living a daily life in a way that brings honor to God? Talking to their kids and wrestling with their kids about the Word of God. if parents aren't showing what to their kids what it looks like to live a life that honors God. I mean, seriously, if Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all I have commanded you, the easiest place to start is in the home with your own kids. You know, if you're truly a disciple, and I've been saying this for 2 years now, if not a quote-unquote Christian, but if you're truly a disciple, that is your main task. It's not to get good grades. It's not to get a good job. And yeah, while good grades and a good job are good things to do, if you're truly a disciple of God, a true follower of Jesus, your main goal is to go and make more disciples. So, how can we expect children to obey and honor if we aren't obeying and honoring ourselves, if we aren't teaching this stuff to our kids? This is why last week when Brian and I were talking about the interaction between husbands and wives, I read the scripture. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. I know women today hate this verse. I've been asked by several not to use this scripture when I've done weddings. And I understand it. We haven't seen many men truly loving their wives as Christ loves the church. Instead, what we have seen are boys working long hours, maybe getting paid well, coming home, grabbing a cold beer, and sitting down to dinner, only to see them after dinner get up, go watch TV, or go possibly hang out with their friends. We don't see many men who come home and ask their wives how their day has been. We don't see many men come home and help with dinner or help with the chores or help with dishes, let alone come home and help with the children. This is why I use the word boys. We aren't seeing men do what they are called to do, which is to be the head of the household, loving their wives as Christ loves the church. I have to state this. Just because you have a job does not make you a man. There are countless boys under the age of 10 working in sweatshops all over the world, putting in longer hours than you for mere pennies. Working doesn't make you a man. How you live your life with those around you does. And as a follower of Christ, how you live your life for those around you means showing the love of Christ to those around you. You know, today, I'm sorry, guys. This scripture here is not about wives. It's not about mothers. It's not even about kids. It's about you. It's about men. It's about fathers. You know, when I do marriage counseling, even last week's scripture was just about men and husbands. When I do marriage counseling, inevitably, I look at the man and I say, dude, there are two people here seeking help, but dude, you are going to be the one that has to do all the work here. And when I say this, most men give me this weird look, but then I go on and say, when you realized that you wanted to date this woman, what did you do? You took her out to eat. You took her on dates. You bought her flowers. You bought her candy. You did everything you could to get this woman's attention and to try to win her over so that she could say one thing. Yes, I will marry you. All that stuff was needed to win her over because you were building a relationship with her. The problem with guys, though, is that we are goal-oriented. It's the way we were raised. And once the woman has said yes and the ring is on that finger, men typically move on to what their next goal is, assuming that the relationship is going to stay strong, assuming that that relationship is going to get stronger. But the truth is, it doesn't get stronger if you're not seeking your wife and loving her as Christ loves the church. It's actually the opposite. Your relationship gets weaker. You just get along. You just do life together. There's not much love and respect there unless the man intentionally feeds into his wife by continually dating her, by continually trying to win her over, by continuing to do all the things he did before because he loved her. And what we see most of the time is we see marriage relationships getting weaker and weaker, even if they say we're going to make it, we're going to last. It's why we see such high rates of dissatisfaction in marriages across the country. If we're supposed to be like Christ, loving our wives as he loves the church, we have to remember that with Christ, it wasn't just a one-time thing. He didn't spend a bunch of time winning us over, then to move on to the next goal. Jesus is still working in the lives of those who are his. So if you want to love your wife as Christ loves the church, what you need to do is daily die to yourself, and you need to fight for her. But Will, we're talking about children here. How does that apply? Well, it applies this way. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of God. Did you see that? It doesn't say mothers there. Fathers have the sole responsibility to keep that marriage together, to feed into their wives, but also to instruct their children. It says fathers. Did you know that there have been some studies out there, actually a lot of studies, that show that fathers are more important in the lives of children than mothers? Boys look up to their dads. They want input from their dads. They want to be like their dads, whether their dads are good guys or bad guys, whether their dads are there or not. I was thinking back this past week to that song, Cats in the Cradle, and the end of the first few verses, the boy said, "I'm going to be just like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be just like you." This kid saw his dad, who was never there, who worked all the time, and he kept saying to his dad, "Dad, I'm going to be just like you." We have such an important role in our children's lives as men. And the studies show we're more important than the wives because we are their role models. Scriptures say we are the head of the household. You know, that song ends and the father wants to spend time with his son, and the father realized the boy was just like me. He'd grown up just like me. Boys end up looking to their fathers who are supposed to be the head of the household. Fathers who are supposed to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And unfortunately, boys see fathers who have very little time to just spend with their kids, even if that father coaches their kids' sporting event. Did you know that for girls, if a father is in her life, if a father is intentionally spending as much time with her, loving her for the daughter that she truly is, that girls will have higher self-esteem? Girls whose fathers are in their lives are less likely to get pregnant out of wedlock because their self-esteem is so powerful, because she's not seeking someone who she thinks will, quote unquote, complete her. Only God can complete her. And unfortunately, if your own father figures are too busy to spend time with us, if our own father figures are not loving their wives, our mothers, as Christ loves the church, is it any wonder that our kids have no clue who Jesus is? They have no idea who our heavenly father is. Our earthly fathers are supposed to be a glimpse of our heavenly fathers, and most earthly fathers are absent. Most earthly fathers are abusive, physically, verbally, or emotionally. So needless to say, the importance of fathers is high. Scripturally, it points to that. Now, will we be perfect? I mean, not at all. Christ doesn't ask us to be perfect. He asks us to follow him. I mean, this past week, I had to walk out of the house because I was angry. Said it before. My allergies have been killing me since I got back from Maine. I stopped taking my allergy med this past week because it was making me feel drowsy all day. And I was getting angry at home and with everyone for things that I should have been okay with. We are not going to be perfect, but fathers can either be a positive influence in the lives of their kids or they can be a negative influence. And it was better for me that day to get out of the house because I didn't want to yell at my kids for something that they were doing that was right. But what our culture has shown is that fathers have not stepped up to be the head of the household. Instead, they are most likely the cause for the reason our children are not able to articulate their faith. You know, this is how Matt Chandler put it. Now, let me tell you something that occurs down here in the Bible Belt. I don't think it occurs in other places. I think it does here. That's me. There's just a kind of moral stronghold, verbally, externally, in the Bible Belt that doesn't exist in the rest of the culture. Don't worry, it will disappear soon enough. But what ends up happening, specifically in the Bible Belt, is men think, or men have children and they think to themselves, you know what? I don't want my daughter to get pregnant. I don't want my son on drugs. I want them to be good kids and respectful kids. I want them to do that, and I want them to know that. So let's go find a church. We've got to start going to church. This here is a really weird animal, and let me be honest with you. I think you doing that, you making that move, might just be unbelievably have an unbelievably damning effect on your family. Do your kids, seriously, do you think your kids don't see the disjoint between what they're learning in the church and the way you're living? So here, you're going, go to church, where we're saying the gospel is primary, worship of God is primary, it's the pinnacle of what we're created for. We should be in glad submission to the plans of God because he is after our joy, and our highest joy will be in obedience to him. They're learning that, and you are, with every angle of your life, living opposite. I mean, what you're doing is you're making liars of both of us. What I'm saying is this. This is an impossible task if you're not willing to submit to God yourself. You can put the Ten Commandments up in your home. You can know all the moral things to say, don't do this, don't do that. But if you're not in glad submission to God yourself, nothing happens. That's what Matt Chandler said. You're making liars of both of us. When we're up here, when teachers, when preachers are saying that the Word of God, that we're supposed to seek God, that it's all about God's glory, and this is how we're supposed to live our lives, and then you go home and you live in a way that doesn't honor God, you don't love your wife, you don't train your kids up in the way of the Lord. Once again, no one's going to be perfect, but kids can see hypocrisy a million miles away. They know what you think is important. Lydia and Nate both know that I love the Patriots. They're not doing well so far this year. We've lost two really important key players. They also know that I love the Red Sox. Lydia will even sit with me occasionally during football season. Nate has been running around the house recently with a football. So my kids know that sports are important to me. But they also know that we pray. They also know that we talk about God. I want them to know that God is the center. He's the focal point. He's everything about our lives. I want them to know that God loves us and that God wants a relationship with us. I want them to know because I want them to seek God and I want them to follow God. Lydia every night asks for her prayer devotional to be read to her. She's even said to me in the last month or so that we need to get a new one, Daddy. We've read this one so many times that I know it all. She finishes sentences for me in this prayer devotional. My daughter has heard the promises of God, and she knows that God cares for her and loves her. She also knows, though, that I'm there for her because I find time. And when I get angry and I lose my cool, she knows that I go back and I apologize. Like I said, I'm not perfect. I've had to apologize to when she was 3, 4, and 5 years old because I've lost my cool or when I've done something that I shouldn't have done. But what I'm trying to do is show Nate and Lydia that I'm real, that I'm human, that I'm not perfect, and that I'm not asking them to be perfect. So how can we raise our kids up in the knowledge of the Lord if we don't really believe this stuff? But more importantly, how can we if we don't live our life by the Word of God? Fathers, don't provoke your children into anger. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I talked 2 weeks ago about how in our culture, we love to take Scripture out of place. And when we do that, it's to our detriment. If you are not raising your kids up in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord, this part of teaching right here, where we want them to obey and respect us, how can you expect them to do that? If you're not daily living in the Lord, obeying God, worshiping him on a daily basis, teaching your kids this? How can we expect our kids to obey us and to honor us? If you're living a life, if you are living a life recognizing the grace that God has shown you, and in turn showing others that grace and love, guess what? You're not going to provoke your kids to anger. Just like I said last week, any wife would be out of her mind not to respect and submit to a husband who loves her as Christ loves the church. The same is true for this one. Any child would obey and honor his parents who train them in the ways of the Lord. Any parent who is using grace and love and peace and patience would submit and respect and honor and obey that parent. Now, kids, though, before you start using this concept against your parents, hey, you can't yell at me right now or punish me because what you're doing is provoking me to anger. Because I can see kids doing that. Let me point this out. There will be things your parents will do if they're raising you in the ways of the Lord. Things that you don't like. They will punish you if they're pointing you out to Christ. They will have to take things away from you. They will have to tell you things like, you don't do this. You're not allowed to do that. But that is not provoking you to anger. That is teaching you. You see, as you learn more about the ways of the Lord, you will learn that there are things in your life that you have to kick out of your life. I mean, yeah, sports are good, but if sports are consuming all of your time, if they're taking away from you glorifying God, sports have become an idol. Band becomes an idol. The same is true of work. If it's consuming all your time and taking away from you glorifying God, it is an idol and it needs to go. I don't care. God doesn't care if it's how you supposedly make your living. If it has become an idol, if it's taking away from you glorifying God in everything you do, it has to go. It's like I've said before, if I treated my job or talked about my job the way many people talk about their jobs, they would call into question whether or not this is what I'm called to do. If our jobs are the calls that God has on our lives, then we should be doing everything for the glory of God. Will you have bad days? Definitely. Friday was not the best day for me. Allergies all week, like 3-4 weeks now. I got really angry and I had to pull myself in and realize where the anger stemmed from. But there is another tie here with fathers that we have to look at. Because back in chapter 4 where it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why did he give these guys? He gave them to equip the saints for ministry and for building up of the body. Paul here using the verses on husbands and how they're supposed to treat their wives. The verses on how fathers are supposed to raise up their kids. It all stems back to what the pastor's job is and how I am called to equip you. Paul is showing the body of believers what they're supposed to look like, how they're supposed to shine God's glory all around. Pastors and teachers here in every church around the world are spiritual fathers who, like earthly fathers, are supposed to point their spiritual children to Christ at all times, not provoking the anger in their children, but bringing their spiritual children up through the discipline and the instruction of God. It is my job to show you what it looks like to follow God, to glorify God, and to honor God in all you do. But it is also my job to call out those who are harming the body of Christ. Not call them out in a way that provokes them to anger, but calling them out in a way that shows them what they're supposed to look like. Paul says you're supposed to stop looking like Gentiles, and yet you're supposed to imitate God. Will you be perfect? I have to keep saying this. No. God isn't asking you to be perfect. He's asking that you follow him. He's asking that you have a relationship with him. And this is honestly something we struggle with as a culture. So many people claim to be Christian, yet they don't live their lives in a way that honors God. They spend an hour a week, maybe, in a church building, but they don't take the word of God home that they heard that morning and apply it to their lives. Last year during the James series, I talked about the importance of bringing our tithe to to God. Scripture makes it real clear. A tithe is something that we bring to God, recognizing that God has blessed us with everything. It is the first sign that you might be a believer. It is the first step that you can take, saying, God, I'm going to believe you in this. Yet so few in the churches across this country tithe. We talk about how we want to help the poor and the needy, yet as the body of Christ, without the people of God bringing their tithe to the Lord, how can we help those who are in need? How can we spread the gospel if people aren't bringing their tithe? And what that shows is that we don't trust God. We think that we can take care of ourselves. Today we're talking about the importance of raising up our kids in the way of the Lord and how it's the Father's job. Honestly, I've made it a really easy start. I've made it easy for you to start the conversation with your kids. Because each week in Children's Church, the kids have papers in their mailbox back in the 2 and 3 year old room. Papers about what they learned that Sunday with questions and stories that can be read at home to really reinforce what God has done. But do we go home with our kids and read over this stuff with them? Asking questions, talking about it, talking to our kids about what it really looks like to have a relationship with God. Some might do that, but stats show that across the country, most parents don't talk to their kids about God during the week, except for maybe a quick prayer before dinner. So fathers, here's the deal. The quarterback has thrown the ball. God has literally made it easy for you to teach your kids through your words and through your actions what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. God has thrown the football right at the numbers. The question I have for you is, will you be like the Browns and find a way to drop the ball? Or will you catch it and hold it with all your might and teach your kids what it looks like to follow Christ? You know, I thought the football analogy would be good, trying to get people amped up since next Sunday everything starts. And with the Browns looking so good right now. Hey, I'm playing for the Browns. Tevin Coley is a brother of mine. But in all reality, men, it really is up to you. God has planned it that way. It is your job to love your wives as Christ loves the church. And it is your job to raise your children up in the discipline and in the teachings of the Lord. It's not your wife's job to teach and discipline children. It's your job. And for those of you who are thinking, man, this is not what I signed up for, the truth is, yes, it is. This is exactly what you signed up for when you asked that woman to marry you. This is exactly what you signed up for that night you had sex, and because of that, now you have a child. Children, yeah. God has blessed you with a wife, and God has blessed you with kids. The question is, will you jump up and grab that ball with all your might, or will you drop it and say, there's always next year? Another Browns famous saying. Next year is not guaranteed. All you have is now. Let's step up and be the men that we have been called to be. Let's step up as the husbands and love our wives as Christ loves the church. Let's step up as fathers, and I don't care if your kids have moved out of the house. Let's step up as fathers and love our children and teach them and discipline them in the ways of the Lord so that they know that God is worthy of all of our glory and honor. Let's stop acting like boys and let's be the men that we have been called to be. I know this wasn't an easy one. I was praying through it last night. I just kept thinking it's all about fathers, everything. It's about husbands. It's about men. We have been placed on this earth to be the head of the household. We don't always do a good job. I fail more than I succeed, but we're called to do it. So here's what I want us to do this morning before we go into communion. I want us to spend some time in prayer. I want us to seek the Lord. Parents, I want you to seek God. I want you to pray that God will give you the wisdom and patience. I want you to pray that God will give you the faith needed to raise your children up in the Lord. Children, it doesn't matter your age. You could be 60 and you could still be the child because your parents are still there nagging you. I want you to pray for your parents. I want you to pray that God will work in their lives. I want you to pray if your parents or your children don't have a relationship with the Lord. I want you to pray that God will use you as a witness to shine his love through you. And if you're a disciple, I need you to realize that you are a spiritual parent. Pray for those that God has put in your lives. Pray for the wisdom and patience to teach and guide these spiritual children so that they can see the glory of God. Let us spend a few moments in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning seeking you, asking that you take us who are imperfect and that you mold us into the likeness of you, asking that you give us the wisdom and the mercy and the patience and the love and kindness that we need to show a lost and dying world how much you love them. But also, Lord, that you ask that you give us as men who are here today, your patience and your love and your desire to show our spouses and to show our kids how great you are. You are an awesome God, and we just thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.